I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Isaiah, chapter 42. Read the first four verses. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Again, chapters 40 through 66, the book of Isaiah, for the most part, contain messages of comfort, messages of consolation for the remnant of God. The message that Isaiah was to deliver to the people for the purpose of comforting them was basically a threefold message, and you see this time and time again through chapters 40 through 66. There's a principle laid down. It shows us how God comforts. Again, the message basically was threefold. He would remind them of their own frailty. And that's where comfort must begin, is we must realize our need of comfort. He would then call their attention to the immutability of God and also the immutability of God's Word. And then he would exhort them to behold God. And we see this pattern over and over in these chapters. And again, from this, we learn the basis, we learn the foundation of God's comfort. We learn where it is that God's people find help and support and encouragement, and where they find that which soothes and reassures the heart, bringing tranquility and contentment to the heart. Now, our text opens with a call or invitation to do something. The very first word is behold. Behold. Again, this is our duty, and it is also our privilege. Now, the word behold, of course, must have an object. If you're going to behold, you have to behold something. So it has to have an object. And what follows the word behold is a word picture of Jesus Christ. So our attention is being drawn to Jesus Christ. And again, this is one of God's ways of comforting. He draws our attention to himself. He draws our attention to Jesus Christ. So he says, behold. And then he refers to Christ as his servant. This is the servant that he would uphold or was supported, had God's strength. He refers to him as his elect, the one in whom his soul delighted, was well pleased. We see that the Holy Spirit of God would be upon him. We see that he would bring forth judgment. In verse 4, he shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged. And in verse 2, we see the way in which he carries out his work. That is, it would be carried out in a spirit of humility. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. So he's calling our attention to Jesus Christ. And with our attention upon Jesus Christ, this brings us to the central thought of the message, where again we are told what he would do. In verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. This is one of the most precious and thought-provoking verses in all the Word of God. What is stated there in verse 3. And again, it is something that Christ would do. It has to do with the work of Christ. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. It's something that we must always be in our minds, and it's an amazing thought, but it also needs to be in our mind when it comes to dealing with other people. This is certainly something that every pastor needs to have upon his mind at all times. So the subject of the message is God's tender care for feeble saints. The very first thing we want to look at is we see a picture here of God's people. In verse 3, we read of two different plants. There's the reed, and there is the flax. These two are being used as illustrations of people. They're being used as illustrations of God's people. The reed and the flax. First of all, consider the reed. It was very common in the Middle East. There were several varieties that grew there. The one most referred to in Scripture typically grew to a height of about 12 feet. And when this reed would be freshly cut, it was flexible, yet it was very, very strong. When you dried the reed, they remained strong, but they became, now they're stiff rather than flexible. Now the reed, of course, was used for a variety of things. They would use it for measuring devices. They would use it as a walking stick. So again, you could see the strength of this plant. They were used to make musical instruments, such as flutes. They were used to make writing instruments. They were used in the making of baskets, other woven vessels. They would make spears out of the reed because of their jagged edges. They would make other products such as shoes, bedding, sails for boats. They would make rope out of reed. Paper would be made from reed. Sometimes the reed would be crushed for fragrances. We know from the crucifixion of Christ, Matthew 27 and verse 29, the reed was mockingly given to Jesus as a symbol of royalty. And from Matthew 27 verse 30, the same reed was taken and he was beaten with it. And in Matthew 27 verse 48, that same reed was used to lift vinegar to him. So from all of this, it's very, very clear that the reed was a very functional plant. It was very useful. It was very beneficial. And the Lord here uses the reed as an illustration of God's people. It is a picture of God's people when the Lord's people are functioning as they should. When that happens, they're very useful. They're very useful to God in His work. So you have the reed. We also see the flax. Now the flax was, unlike the reed, was a very delicate plant. And it would be gathered and dried, and then it would be turned into thread. And from the thread, of course, they would make linen cloth. We know that the garments of the priest was made out of linen. We see that this flax would be gathered and it would be soaked in water to separate the fibers. It would be left in the sun to dry. And for this reason, in Joshua 23, I believe it's verse 6, Rahab had stalks of flax drying on the roof of her house. Again, this was part of the process to make linen. Once it was dried, the fibers were spun into thread and linen cloth. And again, linen was made to make the priest's clothing as well as it was used to make ordinary garments. Again, it was used to make sails. It was used to make rope, nets, twine, and on we could go. But once again, it was a very useful plant. And we see here in our text that flax threads were used as wicks in oil lamps. That's what's being referred to here in Isaiah 42 and verse 3. A piece of thread would be placed in the oil, and after the thread had been thoroughly soaked with the oil, it would be lit and would serve as a wick, drawing the oil from the lamp, producing light. So like the reed, the flax is also a picture of usefulness. It is a picture of the usefulness of the people of God when they are functioning as they should. When they are functioning as they should. That brings us to our second point. There's a problem in verse 3. We all know that God's people, we ourselves, do not always function as we should. That presents a problem. We are told here in verse 3 that the reed is bruised. That is, there's something wrong with it. And we are told that the flax is smoking, or the flax is smoldering. So consider the bruised reed first, and then we'll move to the smoking flax. The word bruised means to be broken. So you have this plant, a reed, again, very strong. Be used as a walking stick once it was dry. But this reed is broken. Perhaps it's cracked. Perhaps it's crushed in some place. But whatever, it has lost some of its usefulness. It is a bruised reed is a picture of weakness. There's something wrong with this reed. And a bruised reed cannot be used for any of the purposes that we've already mentioned. It has lost its function. It has lost its effectiveness. The bruised reed has lost its strength. It has lost its stability, its soundness. It is no longer reliable. It is no longer of much use. So there's a problem with this reed. Then we come to the flax, and we see it is smoking. It's referring to the flax being used as a wick. It conveys the idea of that which is dim, that which is dull, that which is faint. Again, this is a picture of a wick that has basically dried out. There is no oil, and it is merely smoldering. It has ceased to function as it should. It has ceased to be useful for what it was intended for. So both of these, the bruised reed and the smoking flax, are pictures of children of God who are no longer where or what they should be. We've all been there. Some may be there now, but we've all been there. And if we live long enough, more than likely we will be there again. They have lost their strength. The bruised reed, the smoking flax, a picture of a people who have lost their spiritual strength, have lost their spiritual stability and soundness, and yes, have even lost their light. And as a result of all of this, they have ceased to function as they should. They have ceased to function for the Lord. We have all been a bruised reed. We have all been a smoking flax. And again, if we live long enough, there will probably be more times when we will be like a bruised reed, when we will be like a smoking flax. In other words, where we cease to function, we cease to be of use for what God intended. And that brings us to our third and main point. We see how that Christ would deal with the bruised reed and the smoking flax. Now, this is amazing, because if you and I have something and it no longer serves its function, we throw it away. That's what we do. It's of no use to us, so we toss it. Maybe you try to sell it in a garage sale, but you get rid of it. But in the light of the sins and the failures of God's people, and they are innumerable, and let's consider this personally, each one of us. In light of my sins, in light of your sins, in light of my failures, in light of your failures, what is our view of God? There's no question that we sin. That's undebatable. There's no question that we fail. We have sinned, we do sin, and we will sin. We have failed, we do fail, and we will fail. But what is our view of God in light of our sins and our failures? The Bible, of course, presents God as a God of love, presents God as tender and compassionate. The Bible also presents God as possessing anger and pouring forth wrath, a God of judgment. So you have this, how God is presented. He's loving, he's tender, he's also capable of anger and wrath, and he's displeased with sin. So, again, in light of the failures and sins of God's people, how are we to view God? Now, one extreme is to view God as all-loving, with absolutely no judgment, no anger, no wrath whatsoever, accepting all behaviors. That is an unscriptural view. That is a very extreme view. It's inaccurate. But there's another extreme, and that is to view God almost exclusively as a God of judgment, a God of anger, a God of wrath. As if God were anxiously waiting for reason to pour out his judgment. Do you realize if that was the case, none of us would be here? None of us would be here. None of us would have lasted very long. But both of these are extreme. Both are erroneous. Now, the Bible does also give us several instances of God pouring out his judgment, both upon his enemies and upon his own people. But the Bible also speaks of the long suffering of God, both towards his enemies and towards his own people. A couple of examples. When God sent the flood, it was after much striving with man, we read in Genesis 6. In verse 3. And even after he strove with man, and after he announced that he would destroy, he then gave him another 120 years before he poured out his judgment. So can you, in God sending the flood, can one possibly believe that God was just anxiously waiting to bring judgment upon the world? No, that's not the case at all. He was very patient. He did judge. He did pour out his wrath. But there was patience. And God does judge. And God does pour out his wrath. But I guarantee you, before he does, there's been much patience. There's been much patience. God's long-suffering. Problem is, you and I don't know how long he's going to suffer. But he is patient. When God sent Israel into captivity, it was after he warned them over and over and over and over. And you're talking thousands of years. And he would send to them for years his prophets, one after another, calling upon them to repent. God was not anxiously awaiting to bring them into captivity. He was merciful. He was long-suffering. Judgment did come, but not before he exercised much mercy in long-suffering. In Romans 1 and verse 18, it is declared, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." But if you read on through Romans 1, the wrath of God was not God's first response. And it hardly ever is. All the judgments of God's word, Sodom and Gomorrah, to destroy them wasn't his first response. There was long suffering. There was mercy. As you read through Romans 1, again, wrath was not God's first response. God does inflict judgment. There can be no question about that. God does inflict judgment, but He's not quick to do so. The flood proves it. Sodom and Gomorrah proves it. Israel and Judah prove it. Many individuals prove it. The United States of America is proof that He is not quick to judge. But He does judge. God does not approve of sin. But thanks be unto God, He's not just waiting for you and I to slip up and then destroy us, because we wouldn't be here. That's not how He works. That's not how He works with His people. It's not how He works with His enemies. They sin over and over and over and over again. And God is merciful and God is gracious. This is illustrated here in verse 3 of our text. We are told here that of something that Christ does not do in verse 3. And what we read here in verse 3 is a branch of God's abundant mercy. The reed has lost its function. The flax has lost its function. It's basically useless in its present state. But God, in His mercy, doesn't do something to that reed and to that flax. So what we read here in verse 3 is an illustration of the marvelous patience of God. I've said many times, and I marvel, of all the attributes of God, patience, the patience of God just marvels. It, to me, is a marvel. How patient God is with you and I as individuals, with lost man. God is patient. We read in 2 Peter 3 in verse 9 concerning the elect of God. That's who he's writing about there in that verse. But what he writes is also true of our saved life. He says there, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Now the usward there is referring to the elect. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And that is illustrated in verse 3 of our text. To perish is to be ruined. To perish is to be spoiled. You and I may get in a condition where we are useless in the service of the Lord. But God is long-suffering to usward. And He is not just waiting to put off to just finish us off. It's not how God operates. But God is not willing that we should be ruined. He desires that we come to repentance. So in our text, notice, He does not break the bruised reed. "A bruised reed shall he," the one that was described there in verses 1 and 2, which is Christ, "shall he not break." The Lord sees, and the Lord knows the weakness and the uselessness of that bruised reed. It's not that He's ignorant about the fact that this reed has a problem. There's something wrong with it. He knows that. He knows that in its present state, it is useless. But the Lord does not break the bruised reed. He doesn't break it into pieces. He does not reach out in anger to finish it off. So there's this bruised reed. It's weak. It's useless. But he does not come to the bruised reed to destroy it. And the Lord does not come to me or you to destroy. Talking about God's people. He can judge us. He can chastise us. But the purpose of His chastisement is not to destroy us. It's not His purpose. And here He comes upon this bruised reed. He has the power to destroy it. He has the right to destroy it. There would be nothing wrong if He did destroy it. And may I say that if God were to destroy us, there would be nothing wrong with that. God doesn't do anything wrong. God would be perfectly within His rights, because God has all right to destroy every one of us. But He does not come to the bruised reed to destroy it. He comes to mend it. He comes to repair it, to reinforce, to restore it. A bruised reed. Now man, we are quick. We are quick to cast the bruised reed away. And to our shame, many times we are quicker than God to cast away. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Because God does not come to break the bruised reed. He's not quick. I'm not saying that He never does break, but He's not quick to break the bruised reed. Now think upon our lives. How many times our saved lives we have been the bruised reed? How many times, due to our sins, due to our failures, we lose our function, we become useless in the service of God? We have been the bruised reed, every one of us. There are no exceptions. But the Lord, in His tenderness, in His compassion, and in His patience, did not break us, did not destroy us, did not cast us aside. It would try my patience raising our children. I've told you this 20 times. I mean, after a couple times, my patience is wearing pretty thin. How many times does God tell us over and over and over and over? And yet we disobey. And thanks be unto God, He doesn't destroy us. He does not break the bruised reed. Notice also, He does not quench the smoking flax. That is, He's not quick to extinguish it. The Lord sees and the Lord knows that that wick, that flax, is smoking. That it has become weak, it's dying out. He can see that. But thanks be unto God, He's not quick to snuff out that smoldering wick. But instead, he comes and he rekindles that flame. He comes and he makes it useful again. Thanks be unto God, there can be a smoldering wick, but God can cause it to burn brightly again. Every man may give up on a smoking flax, but God can cause it to burn brightly again. And how many times we have been the smoking flax. But again, God in His tenderness, God in His compassion, God in His patience does not just snuff us out. We're all testimony to that. Again, every one of us have had times in our lives when we were a bruised reed. Is it not true that He has had compassion on many bruised reeds in this building tonight? We've all been bruised reeds, and God has been merciful. Would have been easy, and it would have been just for God to simply break us into and to cast us off and be finished with it. It would have been easy, and God would have been just in doing so. But instead, Christ is faithful. He's ready to restore, to reinforce, to repair, to mend, and to make us usable again. Don't give up on yourself or upon other people. It's not so much giving up on ourselves or other people. Don't give up on the Lord. God can fix it. God can fix it. There isn't anyone in this world that God can't fix. So we thank the Lord that every one of us have had times in our lives when we were smoking flax. Again, God has had compassion on many in this building who were smoking flax, every one of us. It would have been easy, would have been just for God to quench our feeble flame and simply snuff us out. But instead, God was willing to forgive. He brought us to repentance. He was willing to restore. He was willing to rekindle us. The Lord had compassion on a bruised reed and a smoking flax named Jonah. I mean, think about Jonah. There was a bruised reed. There was smoking flax. And even when Jonah finally did do what God told him to do, he had the wrong spirit about it. God was merciful. God was merciful to Jonah. The Lord had compassion on a bruised reed and smoking flax named Peter. Think about Peter. Vehemently denying the Lord, cursing. God had pity upon him. God restored him. In that state, Peter became useless. But God didn't snuff him out. A little while later, God would use Peter in a great and mighty way. All we can say is when we look at these individuals is thank you, Lord. You think about David. Committing adultery with Bathsheba. God would have been just to kill him right then. There's no denying that. How many times God would have been just in killing us because of our failures, because of our sins. But God's been merciful. God has been gracious. I think of Saul, who would later be Paul. You want to talk about mercy and grace. Here's a man who had God's people put to death. And yet God didn't smite him dead. That's why it always amazes me when somebody says, well, if you do something like that, God will smite you dead. Well, what do you base that on? There's no doubt. Yes, he could. And he might. But just to say, if you do such and such, God's going to smite you dead, you have nothing to base that on. You certainly can't base it on the Word of God. God's merciful. God's gracious. He does judge. And he judges severely. But before he gets there, he exercises unbelievable patience and mercy. So if God does judge you and I, and he comes down with a heavy hand upon us, be assured of this, God's been patient. God's been very, very patient with us. So you consider Jonah, consider David, consider Peter, consider Saul, Paul. And hasn't he done the same for us? Many, many times. How many times have you and I been that bruised reed and that smoking flax? And here we are today. Because God is gracious. God is merciful. There may be someone here who may presently be a bruised reed. That is, you're weak. Nearly broken. In your present state, you're unusable. Unusable in the church, unusable in the service of God. God's people can get there. But there is a God who might judge you, who might pour his wrath down upon you, but that won't be his first response. There is a God who can restore. There is a God who can repair. All the healing miracles that Christ performed are proof of what we read here in Isaiah 42 in verse 3. Others may be like the smoking flax. Their light is growing dim, no longer saturated with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Their life is all smoke and no light. If you become all smoke and no light, you become irritating. You become useless in the service of God. But there is a God who can snuff that wick out, destroy it. No doubt. But he's also a God who is very patient and can trim that wick and put fresh oil in the lamp and rekindle the flame once more, causing the light to shine brighter than ever. And when God does that, when God doesn't break the bruised reed but instead fixes it, when God doesn't quench the smoking flax but instead restores it, it's for His honor and it's for His glory. He's to get all the praise. He is to be worshipped for this. So the text begins, "Behold my service, my servant. Behold my servant." The instruction there is simply, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's true when you and I become a bruised reed, when we become smoking flax. Look to Jesus, because He's your only hope. That's also true when those that we love become a bruised reed and smoking flax. We need to look to Christ, because Christ can perform the miracle that needs to be performed. Behold my servant. Look to Jesus with an eye of faith, with a heart of admiration. You and I that are saved, we are to look to Him with grateful memory. Grateful memory that He saved our soul. Grateful memory how many times He has come when we were the bruised reed and He did not break us. And how many times He has come to us when we were the smoking flax and He did not snuff us out. Look to Him. Look to Him with grateful memory. We all have a problem. It's part of our nature. We are far more quick to condemn others than we are ourselves. We are far too quick many times to cast judgment. Now don't misunderstand me. There are times you must cast judgment. There are times that we must act. We must stand against individuals. We all understand that. But that is not to be our first response. Our first response is to be looked to Christ. And our attitude ought to be something like this: Lord, I've been in the condition that they're in now, and You fixed me. Would You do the same for them? Lord, You would be completely in Your right, You would be completely just if You just broke them in two. But Lord, would You spare the bruised reed? Would You spare the smoking flax for Your honor and for Your glory? Behold my servant, Jesus Christ. There's comfort in beholding Jesus Christ. There's hope beholding Jesus Christ. I mean, you look at humanity. there's no hope there. But you have God in the picture. Now there's hope. There's hope in beholding Jesus Christ. There's joy there. There's strength. There's motivation. So if we do become the bruised reed, if we do become smoking flax, the solution is, behold my servant. Behold Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Again, as we said at the beginning of the message, verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. To me, that is very, very thought provoking. And it's very humbling. It's very humbling. And it ought to fill our hearts with joy. It ought to fill our hearts with praise. Because of verse 3, we're still here. That's the reason. We're still here because of verse 3. What a wonderful God we have. But he is a God to be feared. He is a God of judgment. He hates sin. And our next sin may be the one where God says, that's it. And down it comes. That could be. But rest assured of this. You know, people will say it was because of that particular sin that the Lord took so-and-so out. I doubt it. It may have had something to do with the innumerable sins leading up to that one. But God has been gracious. God has been merciful. You know, sometimes God will pour down His judgment even upon one of His children. Just take him out. And it's very obvious. He does so in a very obvious way where there's no doubt. God just took that person out. And that might lead some to believe, well, if I do that, he's going to take me out too. Not necessarily. In fact, probably not. God deals with us individually. But my whole point is this. We're not to view God as a God who just can't hardly wait to just let us have it. And that's how a lot of people view God. But if that were the case, I would have been dead a long time ago. Would have never even entered this life. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. Thank you, Lord, for that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse